All right, take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 10, if you will. John chapter 10. 2 weeks ago, we got into that a little ways, and we were gone last week for the Ark trip, and I heard that Brother Meyer did a great job, and so glad of that. Good to have be able to leave the ministry in good hands. John chapter 10. Some interesting thoughts. These are portions that are not included in the other Gospels. We've been through the other Gospels. We've been working our way through this little by little. Anybody need a worksheet that did not get a worksheet? Slip your hand up there. And one over here, too. And just keep it up until they get to you. All the way over, John. And this is an interesting passage. Some passages, you know, have a different zap to it than others. And this is interesting. And we'll have some application at the very end. And so I'm going to start reading in verse 11. We'll actually kind of review a little bit of the earlier part of the chapter. But John chapter 10, verse 11, and Jesus is having some intercourse here, some dialogue with the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, and they have a whole different attitude on ministry. And the fact is, we've seen some of these attitudes today. And I'm not standing here looking down my nose at everybody else. I'm saying these are warnings. There's no temptation hath taken you except that which is common to man. And so we all have to be very careful we don't fall into these traps. And but anyway, he's also going to show some things about himself. So John chapter 10 and verse number 11, it says, Jesus is speaking, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf cometh and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh from me, but I lay it down of myself. And I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these things, and many of them said, he hath a devil, and he's mad. Why hear ye him? And others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Let's pray. Talk about the good shepherd and the hirelings. The good shepherd and the hirelings. Father, we thank you for your word. And we'll be a blessing tonight. Sometimes we just need to have some discernment, some understanding. Maybe it's not great, deep eschatological information or even big information about salvation. But it's some understanding. And sometimes what a sweet peace it is to know we have a shepherd and that our shepherd's good and our shepherd will never leave us. And our shepherd loves us so much he's willing to lay down his life for us. So sometimes we need to know those things. So sometimes we need to be encouraged to be like the shepherd. There are others who are looking toward us. So Lord, I ask once again that you give each of us what we need out of this passage tonight. Kind of a smattering shotgun type of message, but Lord, we ask you to speak to each one. You know what's needed in our hearts. And so, Lord, we give you the praise for what you're going to do in Christ's name. Amen. John 10 is a continuation of the interchange, the discussion from chapter 7 through 9 that has been going on between the general population. You see the response. They've tried to figure out who Jesus is. And the Pharisees, who's already decided he can't be God. That can't be, because that puts us out of business. And so we've had this conversation between the people, the Pharisees, and Jesus. Now the Jews are seeking to kill Jesus. They had decided already to reject him and cast out anyone that did not reject Jesus in John chapter 9, 22. They deny their intentions when they're confronted directly, but they're determined to be rid of Jesus nonetheless. Now, the general population is kind of conflicted over who Jesus is, his identity. There's much confusion, mostly because of the ignorance of that they have of the Word of God. Now, much of the blame for that really should be put back on the Jewish leaders as well, because they have spent much time over the many years propagating their own laws, their own applications, instead of the law of God. They're not teaching the clear law of God. Their words have become equal to God's words in their minds. And their words took actually precedence over God's word in practice. And so we've got to be careful with that. Now, Jesus seems to most folks there, innocent, and he is, loving, and he is, and yet the Jewish leadership sees him as a great threat. Jesus forgives the woman caught in adultery, and yet firmly warns her to stay away from the sin. He heals the man born blind, yet he does it on the Sabbath, which raises the question and the ire of all the Jewish people in their code. And once again, the people are torn between following the Jewish leadership, which seem to be leading the wrong way, and the life of Jesus, which seems to be expressing God to the people. So the Jewish leadership seemed to be unable to understand who Jesus is, no matter how much evidence was presented. And Jesus has been presenting himself to the general population, including the Jewish leadership. But the leadership is trying to maintain control of the people, the sheep, if you will. And Jesus is going to now direct his attention to the leadership and give them some specific instruction. Now, last time we were together, I gave those to you. Some shepherds are shepherds, and some are thieves and robbers. We talked about that. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is the thief and the robber." If you weren't here, let me give you a real quick understanding. There may be many sheep, shepherds and sheep folds, if you will, herds across the hillside. At nighttime, these shepherds would bring their sheep toward town, and they would put them in the same fold. They pile them all in the same bunch. Now, you don't brand sheep. Okay, you mess up the wool that way. You don't brand sheep. But sheep, although they're really, really stupid animals, there's something that they do that they can do. They can recognize their shepherd's voice. And so the interesting thing is, they know who loves them. They have enough sense to know who it is that cares for them. So they put all these sheep, this was a normal practice, put all these sheep in the same corral, if you will. And then the next morning, the shepherd shows up, talks to the porter at the door, and says, "I'm ready to pick up my sheep." Now the porter knows who the shepherd is. He says, "Okay, go ahead." And the shepherd calls his sheep. And the ones that are his sheep know his voice. And they'll come. And the rest of them kind of go back to eating. They know his voice. And they'll follow him. That's exactly what he's saying. And so the next guy shows up. He calls his sheep. They'll come looking for him. They say, "Well, that's my shepherd. See you guys tomorrow." And off they go. And so that's just the way it works. Now, these guys who are the porters, if you will, they kind of sleep across the gate of the corral so nobody can get in at night. The problem is no one has any reason to be in there amongst the sheep except the porter and the shepherds. But you know how it is, there's cattle rustlers and everything else. And if someone's trying to get into that corral over the fence, over the wall, whatever it may be, he's not the shepherd. He doesn't, because the shepherd doesn't need to do that. He just goes to the door and calls his sheep will come. If they're coming another way, you can best, even if they look all dressed up, If they have to come in another way, they're a thief and a robber. They're not the real shepherd. They can't come to you straightforward with a word that you recognize. Then they're trying to get you with something that they shouldn't be getting you with. Be careful. So, God's way is the only way. You want to get to the sheep, you go through the porter. False shepherds do not follow the ways of the true shepherd. They seek their own ways. We talked about that. And Jesus is seeking to help the Pharisees to recognize what they're doing. Good intentions, as we're going to do it. Cunning devices, religious motives, worldly position. We need to do things God's way. Number two, true sheep of the true shepherd know the voice of the true shepherd. And so the fact is, they know. You should know your shepherd's voice. Now, I can't tell you how many times, but there's a bunch of times in the Gospels where Jesus says to the religious leaders, you do err not knowing the word of God. Or he says, have you never read? And I tell you what, there's an awful lot of people, sheep in our churches, who can be drawn away because they don't know the shepherd's voice. They haven't been around. They don't follow him. You've got to be careful. They know his voice. Verse 3 says, the sheep hear his voice calling, and he can lead them out. Number 3, the shepherd knows our name. God, this is our shepherd, knows your need, knows everything that's about your life. He cares about you. Don't let anybody tell you differently. Number 4, the true shepherd leads his sheep. He doesn't drive his sheep. That's why there's a kind of a difference in some terminology. And I know it's just terminology. But years ago, you said, was this a pastor-run church? And there's nothing wrong with the pastor being the head of the church. I think he's supposed to be. But it should be a pastor-led church. He's not running the sheep. He's leading the sheep. You don't drive sheep, they scatter. You lead sheep. You go where they're supposed to go and they'll walk in your footprints. You don't drive them. Number 5, true sheep of the true shepherd follow the shepherd's voice. They hear and obey the word of the shepherd. And one that can follow a false shepherd apparently doesn't know the true shepherd. And number 6, true shepherd of the sheep run from strangers. He says they don't know the voices of the strangers. They're not going to follow him. They don't listen to those strange voices. You need to know the word of God so you're not listening to the wrong voice. Just saw this in the newspaper, whether it's today or yesterday. Do you know who Kanye West is? Okay. All right. And he's married to one of those, Kardashian, yeah, okay. He has some kind of thing he's taking around to churches and doing a Sunday service. And, yeah, I just saw this in the paper. And his wife says something about the fact is, oh, it's all good. He talks about Jesus and God and everything. He talks about Jesus and God and everything. Just because they name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't mean that they're the good shepherd. Not everyone who cries says, Lord, Lord, shall even enter the kingdom of heaven. You say, well, aren't you being judgmental? Oh, no, I want to be discerning. Discerning. You go to the book of Proverbs, it says we're supposed to know the word of God so we can discern. It's not my job to judge him. That's the Lord's job to judge him. He'll stand before him, not me. But in the meantime, I don't need to follow a strange shepherd. And a lot of folks, they say, well, oh, well, they said this, they said that. Must be okay. It's almost like we want some celebrity to be a Christian so badly to feel like we got somebody of notoriety on our side. By the way, he is a friend that's well known. There's no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. I've got friends in high places. I don't need Kanye West and this, whatever her name is there. Why is it? It's escaping me. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying be discerning. Now, number 1 tonight. We're going to pick up where we left off. Number one, the good shepherd lives for the sheep. Lives for the sheep. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd, the Lord says. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So that means letter B. The good shepherd is willing to die for the sheep. A couple of things I want you to see here. When the Bible says, and you've heard me do it, and I've done it in funerals so many times, in Psalm 23, the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. The capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jehovah, the God of the universe, the creator of all things, the one that is life, the one that gives life, is life, is my shepherd. And I shall not want. There's no reason to want. The God of all the universe is my shepherd. What's he doing? Well, he's taking care of me. He's leading me in paths of righteousness. For his name's sake, not that I deserve it, but that's just who he is. He's going to lead me by the still waters and the green pastures. He's going to make sure that I'm in the right place at the right time. If I'll follow him, that's where I'll be. And even if the path of righteousness takes me through the valley of shadow of death, which it will one of these days, I don't have to fear any evil because he's with me. Who? The shepherd is with me. The God of all creation is caring for me. The good shepherd. His rod and his staff, well, they comfort me. They're prodding me. What's he saying? Nope, too close to that side. Nope, come back over here. Instead of saying, get off. I want to do this myself. It's like saying, boy, I probably miss. In fact, by the way, sometimes it's dark in the valley of the shadow of death. We might be right on the edge of the cliff and we don't even know it. But we won't. But listen, we don't have to worry about going off the edge of the cliff because his rod and his staff is, if I'm listening to him, he's keeping me right where I need to be. Well, it kind of limits my options. And aren't you glad? I saw something on the news the other day, yesterday. Some guy had a motorbike and he was out going across the edge of the mountain and literally went off the edge of the mountain. Went about 70, 80 feet down. He ended up in the water, but, he went off the edge of the mountain. We don't have to worry about that when you have a good shepherd. It's awful close. It's scary. I don't have to fear anything because if I'm listening to my shepherd. Because you know who he is? He loves me so much. He'd die in my place. In fact, he loves me so much, he did die in my place. And by the way, he didn't take the easy way out. When he died, he wanted to make sure that we all knew that he had given his life full and free to us. And so what happened? He was bruised for our iniquities. With his stripes, we are healed. The Lord allowed himself to be opened up till the blood itself was exposed and shed. Did you ever cut your finger down to the quick? That's an old term you don't hear much anymore. Cut it down to the quick. Did you ever trim your nail back too far and all of a sudden you're back to the quick, the life part, and it starts to bleed? His whole body was sliced back to the quick. So the blood could freely flow. So he could say, I love you without reservation. I hold nothing back. That's our shepherd. He's a good shepherd. Well, you know what? When we doubt him, we all just get slapped. I'm telling you. I don't know if he can take care of us. Y'all just slap us. Come on. After what I did on the cross, this is easy. This is simple. He's a good shepherd. He's willing to die for us. Number two. There are other guys out there too. The hireling lives for himself. the hireling lives for himself. The hireling is the guy that goes along, that is working 9 to 5, picking up his paycheck to get the job done. This is the kid that works at McDonald's, who's supposed to get off at 5, and in the middle of an order, he sees it's 5 o'clock and says, "Bye." This is the guy that walks off the job, gets down off the roof because it's time to pack up and leave. If we could stick around for just another 10 minutes and get the job done and do it right. No, he's not there to get the job done right. He's there to get his paycheck, pat his pockets. Sheep are a mess. They're dumb, they're stupid, they stink. They wander off. They get themselves in trouble. Sounds like church members, doesn't it? Verse 12. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leave the sheep. Well, then what good was he there for? He was there to get the paycheck. He really wasn't there to fight off the wolf. He leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because that's who he is, a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. Let her be, hireling is looking out for himself. The hireling is looking for a paycheck. Let her see, the sheep are just a job for the hireling. He doesn't care for the sheep out of love. He's willing to be bothered by the sheep if the compensation is good enough. I'm willing to be bothered by the sheep if we're going to make enough money at it. Now, what are we talking about? Well, first of all, he's making a contrast. There's a lot of the world's religions that's looking to get you. You're a notch in their belt. Your money in their coffers, your prestige because our numbers are good. The good shepherd's not like that. But let me ask you this. What kind of shepherd are you? There's people who look up to you. I've told you before, in fact, I was going to have you pray for us, brother. This is John Sturber and his wife. They're missionaries getting ready to go to Germany. And I had lunch, had dinner with them tonight. Appreciated them. I'm sorry I was going to have you pray. Mom was on someplace else. But you might want to greet them before they leave. And we were kind of talking about this, but, you know, there's a lot of people who are out in the ministry, and they're just there to get a paycheck. I remember when I told my pastor at the church that I grew up in, not the good church we moved to once we got married, I was a young teen. I said, I think the Lord's called me to be in the ministry. He says, "You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that." And I'm thinking, boy, I don't know if I could handle it. Well, when I finally went off to seminary, I really felt like God was going to use me in the ministry somewhere, maybe not as a pastor, but music person. But one of the first classes I had to take was homiletics. In the context of that homiletics course, I had to read a book from Charles Spurgeon called Lectures to My Students. Yeah, classic. Every preacher has to go through that. And it's good. One of the chapters in the book was called The Call to the Ministry. And it says, and it had all these different aspects, whether somebody's really called to the ministry. And then there was one item there. And he said, if you could be a successful businessman and feel fulfilled in life, don't go into ministry. Now, I'm kind of paraphrasing, and maybe some of this is kind of the way the Lord worked in my heart, but if you could be a successful politician famous and be feel fulfilled in life, don't become a pastor. But if you're consumed with the welfare of souls of those around you, and it's what you think of all day, every day, and you could never feel fulfilled if you didn't do that, then chances are you're called to be a pastor. It's not just a job. It's a life. A hireling is a job. A shepherd is a person. It's a character. It's a persona. It goes all the way down. So the sheep are just a job for the hireling. He doesn't care about the sheep out of love, and he's willing to put up with them if the pay is good enough. Number three, the shepherd has a relationship with the sheep. He says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. And he walked with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. So I've known, yes, but the way it is between you and him, the way it is between you and him is not going to be the same way as between you and me. And the way it is between you and me, it's not going to be the same as it is between you and him. Because every sheep has a name. He knows his sheep by name. He knows your need. He knows where it hurts. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anointeth my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God. He said, he's not just there. My cup runs over. I'm just getting goody all over the place. I mean, when he knows you, he knows you. And you know what the beautiful thing is? When he knows you and he knows all of you, remember he knew that when he died for you? So you say, well, I accepted him as Savior, but boy, if he knew exactly what I was like, he would have never died for you. He knew what you were like when he died for you. So you might as well admit it now. You're not hiding a thing from him. You might as well, listen, we stand, it says we're naked before him. He knows everything about us. We cannot hide a thing from him. But see, he's the good shepherd. He says, I know my sheep, and I'm known of them. And as the Father knows me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. This is what Dad wants. Number four, true shepherd cares for all his sheep. A true shepherd cares for all sheep. Verse 16, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. I won't spend a lot of time on this. When it says other sheep, the word other means a whole set of different sheep. Now, it's interesting. We get kind of selfish. He's my shepherd. Nanner, nanner, nanner. I have a shepherd. But he has a lot of sheep. Well, I want to be his favorite. You are.
And so was he, and so was she, and so was he, and so was she, and so was
he. You see, look, when he elected, when he chose you, you know what that means? He knew me, yet he loved me. He whose glory makes the heavens shine, unworthy of such mercy. But when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He said, I know my sheep. You know what? Listen, he's God. I know Sterling. He's a hard head. He's got a temper. Not real smart. Going to luck out with a good wife. I know him. But he's on my list to die for. All right, I know Darren Russell. Oh, my soul, Darren Russell. But he's on my list. I'm going to die for him. Is he on my list? Yeah, well, we're all on the list. He didn't just say, okay, I'm just going to die for everybody. No, he knows his sheep. All about us. Chose to die for us individually in spite of that. Everything that the good shepherd has for the sheep, he has for all the sheep. Now watch me. Theologically, we could go to Ephesians, and it talks about how he's going to now add all the Gentiles to his fold. I believe that's all right here. They didn't understand that. Listen, those Jewish leaders didn't think certain Jews were fit to be part of the kingdom, much less those dirty Gentiles, those dogs. That's what they called them. He was saying, listen, by the way, that's us. The dirty dog Gentiles, that's us. He says, the shepherd, you know why? Because that's the way shepherds are. One day, it's been a while back, I was sitting down with the staff. I said, sometimes I think preachers are crazy. People have sin. The more people you have, the more sin you have. The more people you have in the same location, the more chance of one sinner is going to bump into another sinner. And what are we doing? Going out and getting more of them and putting them in the thing and shoving them in there and all the tighter. It's like, were there any ones that go out looking for trouble? We don't get paid anymore. No one get more thanks. Well, why do you do that? Same reason God did it. You're a shepherd. We've got folks in our church who have a real heart. You know, they fill the bus up, or they fill up their Sunday school class. And it makes it all the harder when you bring them in again. But why do you bring them in? Because that's who you are. You're a shepherd. You love sheep. Whether they're part of this fold or the other fold, you want them all. The sheep. Number five. I got to keep moving here. I want you to see the shepherd's character. The shepherd's character. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And my Father told me to do this, but I do it freely. See, he's the good shepherd. The good shepherd loves all sheep because he loves sheep. He loves all sheep because he loves sheep. If that's what he needs to do to spare the life of the sheep, then that's what he's going to do. No expense spared. Because that's who he is. So that doesn't make sense. The more you spend time with the shepherd, the more you'll become like the shepherd. And all of a sudden, the stuff that other stupid sheep do, you're not going to sit around and complain about it. You're just going to be thankful that it took that long for it to happen. You know? They give you a hard time. Well, we went this long without. Well, I guess it's about to happen one of these days. Here it is. It's okay. That's what sheep do. It's like bringing a baby home from the hospital and realize you've got to change diapers. You didn't know that. Is this a surprise? What did you think they did? You know, I mean, it happens. Stuff happens. And that's the way it is with sheep. Stuff happens. And when you spend time with the shepherd, you end up getting a shepherd's heart and realize stuff happens. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'd rather stand here when stuff happens, other kinds of stuff, than over there across the hallway where the nursery is when stuff happens. I'm just saying. I'd much rather be on this side of the wall when stuff happens. But that's who the shepherd is. Now think about it again, though. That's who your shepherd is. Stuff happens in your life. I mean, stuff happens. And you know what our shepherd says? I knew it was coming. All right, let's fix it. But I knew it's going to have to happen. We've got to fix it. He doesn't beat his sheep. He may have to bind the wounds of his sheep. He might have to instruct him, may have to lead him, maybe prod him a little bit here and there. But he leads his sheep. You got sheep? What do you do to your sheep when stuff happens? Stuff happens. You're raising kids. Stuff happens. Are you one of those shepherds that beat your sheep to the black and blue? I'll make them scared of me. Then they'll do right. Yeah. That's going to work. Now, I'm not saying there's not times you don't have to use the rod and the staff. I'm not saying there isn't. Make sure you're using it, though, the way a shepherd uses it. Not as a hireling. You know what the hireling does? That stupid sheep, the dumb thing, won't you stay in there? Get in there. Man, I was almost time to go off duty there, and they have to get out. They have to have that happen. That's what a hireling does. That's not what our shepherd does. Number six, good shepherds and hirelings are distinguished by their works. Are you a good shepherd? Well, or are you just a hireling? I think some parents are hirelings. Well, I'm not trying to be inappropriate. I'm not sure they were worth a one-night stand. I'm not trying to be inappropriate, but I'm telling you that having baby was just a gamble, and as far as they're concerned, they lost. That's a hireling. Sometimes I think parents think the kids owe them. Now they ought to learn to obey them. And as they grow up, they should learn to take the responsibility for themselves. And you're going to train them to be independent, God-fearing, honest, moral, lead them to repentance so that they can come to know Christ. All those things are important. But by the way, you're the one that brought them into the world. Maybe you ought to apologize to them that you've been a hireling, not a shepherd. Verse 19, there was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath a devil. This can't be right. This is crazy. He's mad. Why hear ye him? Another says, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. And can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Did you ever hear him talk? He doesn't talk like a hireling. He talks like a shepherd. On Comet, on Cupid, on Donner, on Blitzen. No, that's reindeer, isn't it? He's calling his sheep. And they know him. And you know what? They don't run from him. They don't hang their head in fear. They just scamper on out. They probably don't say thanks. They're just going to go out because the shepherd loves me. And everything's all right in my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. When I have a problem, I can go to him. When I'm bad, I can go to him. And he'll never cast me out. Are you part of the sheepfold? Are you part of the sheepfold? That's my first question. You know Christ as your Savior. Do you know the sheep, the shepherd? Have you met him? Now, have you come to the door and been able to gain entrance because you know the porter? Are you trying to gain entrance to the sheepfold in some illegitimate way? You're not going to get in the sheepfold, become part of the family any other way. Jesus said, we learned last time, I am the door. You can go in and come out and find pasture, but you got to go through the door. Do you know the shepherd? Do you have a relationship with the shepherd? Do you know his voice when he calls? Or are you easily led astray by a strange voice? What seemed close, he knew my name. That doesn't fly. If that flies, then all these phone calls I get all the time. Well, Sterling, you have just won a cruise. Don't be alarmed. We're calling about your credit card. Everything is fine. But you have been chosen. But they knew my name. Do you know his voice when you hear it? Can you distinguish the voice of your shepherd from the voices of the strangers? And let me give you one other thought. Has God given you a position of shepherd somewhere? And do you know your sheep? Do your sheep know you? Do they want to know you? Do you live for others? What's your character? Do you love your sheep? Do you help them find pasture? Green water. Still water, green pastures? Still pastures and green water. I don't know. Do you love other sheep? There's some out there that need to be brought in. We bring some other sheep sometimes in on Sunday. There's some other sheep that show up. Steve learned that his first Sunday in children's church. Scared him half to death. But there's sheep who need a shepherd and may not have any other shepherd than that guy who smiles when I come in and says, I'm glad to see you. We don't, and they may not even let on. No kids are. But where's that guy with a shiny head? Is he coming today? I'm sorry. Huh? Do you live for others or do you live for self? Are you willing to give your life for the sheep? Because by our works we shall be known. The good shepherd and the hirelings. We've got to stop. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. May you take the truths we've heard tonight and apply it to each of us as you see fit. Many different ways to take all this. The truths are all good. Lord, I thank you for being our shepherd. I thank you for allowing me to be part of the fold. I thank you that you saw me from the cross. And even though you knew everything about me, you still put me on that list to die for. Lord, I thank you so much for your love. And may we be a church full of shepherds, true shepherds, not hirelings, but shepherds. And maybe we've got a group here that just, first of all, need to get to know you a little better. Whatever the need may be, Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts. Heads are bowed.